mentally together. Because whether you can see it on the surface or not, we are all just trying to keep ourselves mentally together. And no matter what our brains are experiencing, we're not alone, we're together. One thing we are all doing together on this podcast is learning about different types of therapy, different mental illnesses, different tips and habits for our own mental health, and just things about ourselves in general. For me, one of the biggest things I will take away from this whole crazy pandemic year, or however many more months it lasts for, is the fact that there are still things that I don't know about myself. Things that I thought I liked doing a lot, but turns out now I would rather not do them. Or things that I never really tried or gave a full shot, but now that I've tried them, they're actually one of my favorites. And learning new things about ourselves is pretty cool, but it can also be pretty terrifying because, at least for me, when I do that, I have a tendency to then start questioning everything. Like, well, I didn't know if I liked that, and now I do, but what else might I like if I tried it? Like, what have I been missing? We can tend to be not so nice to ourselves when we go through things like this. What if instead we stopped judging ourselves and said nice things like, whoa, go me, I'm growing, or oh my gosh, I've learned so much this past year, or whatever the nice voice in your head might say to you. Because contrary to what you may believe, I think the nice voice is in there, even if it doesn't talk that much. Basically, instead of shame, we would like self-compassion. My guest today is a trained mindfulness and self-compassion teacher, but you might know her better from her YouTube videos. It's Elena Joy! I have been watching Elena's videos for years. She is a cat-loving LGBTQ+ content creator from Canada. She makes videos about the LGBTQ+ community, veganism, and mental health. And through the years of making content and putting it out on the internet, she's been learning a lot about herself on camera, in front of people. In 2015, she made a coming out video telling the internet she was bisexual. Then in 2020, she made another video announcing that she got engaged to her then boyfriend. And then a few months later, she made another video announcing that the wedding was off because she had come to the realization that she is actually a lesbian. The whole time, the way she got through it was with self-compassion. I guess I should just let Elena tell you more about it herself. So let's get into it with, she's amazing, she's mindful, compassionate. Her name literally means happiness. It's aww. Elena Joy.
Hey, it's me.
Yay, it's you. Thank you for being here. It's always so weird talking to people that you see online all the time. Yeah. And I know it's weird as someone that is the person online all the time too, but watching you currently, it mm-hmm. seems like you are genuinely happy and just like enjoying life. Is that how it feels to you?
It has been a roller coaster since last year, understandably.
What? I can't see how that would be possible.
Yeah. If any of you don't know, long story short, I did as bi for many, many years, and then realized I'm in fact not bi, I'm just a big old gay. Big switch up about a year ago. And yes, things have been a roller coaster, but I've never felt so free. I've never felt so free in my entire life. So I'm glad it shows.
That is wonderful. I know, it's cool. I mean, when I was preparing for this interview, I was looking back at some of your old videos and it's so, I mean, I hate looking back at my own videos because I just look like an awkward, weird person, mm-hmm. but like, it's so interesting to look back at anybody's videos. But since I was looking at yours today, it's like, whoa, she looks like a totally different person. And you seem happy and like you were enjoying what you were talking about then too. But then to look at what you're doing now, it's like, oh, she looks from the outside, again, assuming mm-hmm. you look so comfortable and just like you're doing what you want to do and living how you want to live. And it's wonderful to see.
That is so neat to hear from an outside perspective, because I do not go back and watch the old things. I have not looked at them since, except I think I did one reacting video. Other than that, I have not looked at them. So it's interesting to hear that this feeling of freedom and feeling of, yeah, like you said, living my life the way that I've always wanted to, is it shows.
Do you, so I, you know, just like everybody, have been in quarantine for over a year now, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I feel like a totally different person than I did a year ago for whatever reason, just like my job has changed, what I'm doing in my day to day has changed. I've spent way too much time inside my own brain. Is that how you feel? I mean, that's without, you know, I am not you. I have not had the same experience that you have had of mm-hmm. literally finding a new identity in yourself in the past year. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like a totally different person, or do you feel like it's always been this Elena? And
I feel like, yes and no. I feel like a totally different person in the way that, like, I just get to be who I am and I'm not hiding anything anymore. And that goes for hiding anything from myself, hiding anything from my family, hiding anything from the internet. Before, I was always like trying to convince myself of who I was supposed to be or who I wanted to be, or I would set a path for myself and then I could not deviate from that path, whether or not it was making me happy. And now it's just like, I can just be myself and there's no more secrets. There's no more, like, the internet knows about my identity and the non-monogamy and like all of that stuff. So there's no more like dodging questions and trying to figure out like what's okay to say. What's, if my family hears this, what are they going to think? If all of that is gone.
That's amazing. Which is what a lot of people, like, watching from the outside, anybody's content, you don't necessarily think of that. It's like, oh, you're just, you are making the videos you want to make, but they don't know that there might be all those things in your head. Like, that happens for me a lot, talking about mental health and like thinking about, what are my parents going to think? Oh, do they know this? Do they know this about my brain? What are they going to think? And so that is a really nice thought that, like, if everybody just knows everything, then you could just, like, do it.
There's no, obviously there's something to be said about boundaries and like figuring out what you're comfortable sharing and what you aren't. But specifically for me, in terms of sexuality, in my day-to-day life, ever since junior high, ever since high school, I have always been a very open person. I've always been a sexual person. I've always been like, that's the way that I lean in my regular life. And I think I spent a lot of time online kind of being afraid to be that person.
Ooh, yeah.
Publicly.
Uh-huh.
Even though I was very much living it in my real life, that did come up. You were talking about before you started recording, like, we're there.
Oh, the secrets.
But that was one piece that always felt like I wasn't being my full self online because I was afraid of the judgment. And there were people in my regular life that didn't know. Whereas now it's like, I have nothing to be ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of anything that I've done or anything that I've said. And it's really a breath of fresh air to be able to share those things, even if certain people might disagree, certain people I might get judged or whatever. It's the truth. So what am I going to do?
Yeah.
It's the truth.
That's a great thing for everybody to apply to their lives. Just it's your truth. So don't be ashamed of it.
No. And like, you can't, it's a lose-lose to try and curate a specific image or to try and curate a narrative that isn't necessarily true. Because even if people love you for it, they're not loving you for who you really are. And if they hate you for it, then you're just losing all around because it's not true anyway.
Whereas when
it's, you know, this is my real experience. This is my real life. And if somebody doesn't like that, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Click on a different video. Yeah.
Yep. And I find that it actually resonates with people more.
Mm-hmm.
The truth.
Totally. That's awesome. Yeah. It's interesting thinking back, not to bring up your old videos again, but like 5 years ago, you were making videos about a lot of psychology stuff, about meditation, about mindfulness. And I realized today that I think you might have been the first person that I heard talk about mindfulness and actually explain what that is. And it sounds, I watched that video again today because like, oh, let's see what she said about that. Oh, I remember watching this and going, oh yeah, being in the moment and YOLO. You said YOLO a few times.
Of course.
Show what 5 years ago in the world was like. But how would you describe, what does mindfulness mean to you? And maybe it's even changed from then to now. Oh, I don't know.
What did I even say 5 years ago? My favorite definition of mindfulness comes from a guy named Jon Kabat-Zinn. I'm sure I said this in the video. This
I think so.
Okay. Because this is like my tried and true. Jon Kabat-Zinn, he's a researcher and a scholar. He does a lot of stuff around mindfulness. And he says that mindfulness consists of three parts. It's essentially paying attention to the present moment on purpose, non-judgmentally. So you're paying attention on purpose. You're choosing where you're placing your attention. It's not a passive sort of attention like sometimes when we're eating. We're paying enough attention that we're moving the food into our mouths and not choking on it, but we're not necessarily actively engaged with what we're doing. Mindfulness is active. It's not a passive state. So choosing to pay attention to the present moment, right? So that's now. Now, not tomorrow, not yesterday. We're not ruminating on that embarrassing thing we said last week or that fight we had with our friend last year or, you know, those things that keep us up at night. We're not ruminating on those in the past, and we're not getting caught up in these fears about the future. It's about right now, this moment. And then the non-judgment is huge. This also plays into the self-compassion piece of things. The non-judgment is acceptance. So allowing what is to be, right? And so in a very quick like summary of what I try to do with my mindfulness practice as I'm moving about my day is anytime I catch myself getting caught up in anxiety about the future or the past, is I just say the phrase, right now, I'm okay.
Ooh.
Right now, I'm okay. And so, and it's like, it calms the, even if everything is falling apart around me, even if, yeah, maybe I did mess up yesterday. Yeah, maybe I am having a fight with my friend or my partner. Yes, maybe something scary is coming up in the future. Those things can all be true. And right now, this very moment, sitting here talking to you, I am breathing. I am okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that can help. That can really help kind of bring me down when I start to spiral about the past or the future.
Yeah, because with anxiety, like that's definitely a lot of what goes on in my mind is stupid. I mean, it could even be say something that I did or said when I was like 12. And you're like,
yeah,
why do I remember that awkward thing? And probably whoever I said it to has no recollection.
No.
But it sticks out to me and it just like somehow digs a little hole in my brain and just sits there. And then I go like, or thinking ahead to the future, like you said, of, oh my gosh, what am I going to say when I have this social outing? Not that that ever happens these days, but like even for me now thinking about, okay, when we're all vaccinated, that's going to be great. But I am anxious about big human gatherings.
Yes.
But they're not happening now. So really, I don't, I can't do anything about it now unless there is something I'm going to do about it now, but there's not. So
it's like you're multiplying your own suffering, right? Like you're creating suffering in yourself in this moment by imagining the maybe suffering that you're going to experience at some future moment. Even if that's true, even if you are going to go to a gathering and have anxiety or whatever bad thing is going to happen, bad things are going to happen. But right now, there's no need to suffer about it.
Yeah. Is that something that you are good at actually practicing in your own life?
Oh boy, good at. I think that I have worked with my mindfulness and compassion practices enough that they do surface when I'm struggling. Not always. But more and more so. And that's a huge piece of it is practicing. Like you can't expect that if you're having trouble, you know, playing with mindfulness or playing with self-compassion right now when things are okay, you can't expect those practices to all of a sudden just magically appear when you're in the depth of a spiral.
Uh-huh.
You know, you need to practice them when things are mildly calm so that it can be something that you, that it's already built for you to fall back on.
Yeah. And then for me, a lot of it is also like remembering to keep doing it while things are good and fine too, because sometimes like for me recently, I've been on a good meditation streak, but sometimes I get off of it and I don't do it for like a month. And then I'm like, why does my brain feel bad? Oh, because I thought I was fine. So I just could stop doing these things that are good for me.
Yep. Uh-huh. 100%. And like, that's another thing with mindfulness that I think is really important to touch on with the like practicing when things are good and when things are bad. Quote, like really, if you wanted to go deep into mindfulness, even the idea of a good thing and a bad thing is tossed out the window, because everything is just what it is.
I asked if you were good at it. I was like, wait, that didn't, I couldn't think of a different way to say it, but I was like, I don't like how I said
that. I'm horribly offended by that question. And I think.
Oh, I did it. Cute.
No, but the practice of mindfulness and compassion, when things are good, they can still be incredibly beautiful practices, right? So mindfulness can turn into savoring. You can savoring a pleasant experience and being truly present and there with that experience while you're having it. That's a beautiful practice of mindfulness and is just as important as being able to ground yourself when things are difficult.
Yeah. That makes total sense. Even you talking about mindfulness and eating, I'm like, ooh, whenever I'm eating, I have to be like watching something, listening to something.
I do the same thing.
The opposite of being mindful. I'm like, how can I turn my brain off in this moment and focus on something else?
Yeah.
So I don't like
that. But you know what that sounds like?
Yes.
A judgment. It sounds like you're judging. Now I'm saying, I'm giving examples and you're taking that as an excuse to berate yourself and say, oh, I'm not doing good enough. This is what I should be doing better. Mm-mm.
Okay. Thank you.
We're all doing the best that we can. And if you want to, if mindfully eating is something that's going to bring you joy, then sure, let's play with it. But there's also nothing wrong with eating in front of the TV. Sometimes that brings me joy.
Yeah. And that's fine too. Yeah. So I've heard you talk a lot about your anxiety. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you have felt and struggled with like throughout your life? Or was there a point where you kind of had a realization of like, oh shoot, this is what I'm feeling?
Yeah. So I started having anxiety attacks in junior high, and it was very specific, specifically triggered by a fear of flying. It's like a flight phobia. And it just kind of escalated, where it went from like an actual fear of flying to not being able to watch plane scenes in movies, not being able to be near airports. Like anything to do with flying would send me into an anxiety attack. And I went to therapy for that. And it kind of, so this is something that I actually haven't entirely parsed out in my own life. And so I'm speaking on this tentatively, or like with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But then it kind of led into this more generalized sense of anxiety that seemed to kind of get worse and worse from about when I graduated high school to like a few years ago, a couple years ago. And that's when I discovered mindfulness and compassion, was when I was in university and like really having a hard time with my mental health and juggling my studies.
Mm.
But so this could just be correlation, right? And correlation doesn't necessarily equal causation. But something that I'm realizing more recently is like the generalized anxiety started around the time when I went on the birth control pill.
Oh.
And I only realized that when I stopped taking the pill and I got an IUD, which was what, like 3 years ago now? I don't even remember. And a few months into having my IUD, I noticed this bizarre shift in my generalized anxiety. And I was like, oh, this is weird. What's going on here? And then when I thought back, I was like, wait a minute, this generalized sense of anxiety started around the same time I started taking birth control. So I'm still trying to work out if that has.
And that was after the fear of flying, or that was when that started to, that was when it became more general. Okay.
So like my anxiety attacks were very much like they were triggered by something. It wasn't just like I'd be sitting in class and out of nowhere I'd have an anxiety attack. There was always a trigger that I could name. But then post high school, it started to be more general, where it would just be like, you know, the racing heart and that feeling like something is wrong, that feeling like something not okay is about to happen. Like that kind of got worse and worse. And that's where I would use the mindfulness and compassion practices to kind of help with that.
Yeah.
And now it could be a whole host of things, right? Coming out again, figuring this huge piece of myself out, having more time to engage with these practices, getting older, going off birth control, who knows? It could be a whole mix of things.
Yeah.
But my generalized anxiety is at a better place than it's ever been.
That's great. I know it is so interesting. I think about this a lot, that like I like to search for an answer and I like to have a solution to everything. Yeah. And so if I'm like, okay, I have this problem in my life, we need to find the answer and then it will be fixed and we go on. Great. And so I do that with myself, with my mental health, where I'm like, oh, I'm in a not so, you know, I'm in like this a little, like a month ago, for like a month, I just felt really depressed. And that was just kind of where my mood went for like a month. And I was like, okay, at some point we're going to feel better, but for now we're going to do everything we can to try to make it feel better. So I put my meditation back into practice. Thank you. I started journaling, which I'd always like had in my head that I, quote, should do. It would be great, but it stressed me out. And so I discovered just doing like a 5-minute brain dump after my meditation in the morning. Okay, great. Then I'm going to do some stretching. Like I started putting these things in my routine. And then a month later, I started to feel a lot better. And then I started going, okay, which one did it? Because that is what I'm going to keep doing. I'm like, something fixed it. And
I'm going to drop everything else. I just want the one fix.
And for the record, I only like had this thought while I was writing in my journal one morning, where I was like, okay, I feel pretty good. I don't know which thing it is, if it's the meditation or if it's the this or if it's the this, but something, I'm like, you know, that probably doesn't matter. The fact is, because then of course, if in a month I feel really sad again, I'm going to be like, oh, I guess those weren't working. What do I need to do?
Yep. And you're going to think, oh, I failed. Mm-hmm. Now I feel bad again. So I have somehow failed, which is not, it's the ebb and flow of life, right? That's not how it works. Just because you're feeling down or sad or depressed, it doesn't mean that you have failed. All that it means is that you're feeling down and sad and depressed.
Yes.
That's it. There's no ethical, moral value.
Yeah.
To a feeling.
Yeah. Which is very profound, but sometimes, and seems so obvious also, but not obvious at all. Yeah. Especially if you're in that sad place where you just think that everything is bad and everything you do is bad. And yeah, it's a fun time.
Just the opposite of it's great.
Speaking of fun times, let's talk about self-discovery.
Okay, I was like, where are we going with this?
I think a lot of people can probably relate to the feeling of being stuck at home, being inside their brain, and discovering maybe some new things about themselves. Like for me, one of the things, I stopped, my TV show was put on hiatus. I left my job and I didn't miss it like I thought I would.
Oh, whoa,
and it's like, wait, I thought I should be really sad. I thought this is what I wanted to do every day. Maybe it's not. What do I want to do every day? And so that process was my part of the self-discovery that I was going through. Not to compare it really at all to your self-discovery.
No, pretty comparable. Something you really thought that you liked.
Yeah. So you thought you really liked dudes.
Men.
Yeah. What was the process like mentally of discovering, oh, I don't actually like this thing in the way that I thought I did, and coming to a total new conclusion about yourself?
Oh my God. Yeah. It was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. The mental process. There were a lot of mental gymnastics going on, because once I started realizing that this whole structure, like I had built my entire life within this framework that I liked men. That was something I hadn't ever questioned. That was a given, right? That was a default. That was because I am a woman, my attraction to women was something that I questioned vehemently, right? I question that every ounce of it. But I never took the time to sit down and go, but do I actually like men? It genuinely was a question that did not occur to me, because to me that was like obvious.
Yep.
And so I had built everything, all my even beliefs, my experiences, my perception of the world, I had fit it into this framework under the truth, I like men. And then once I started questioning, like even once I had that question in my mind, what if I'm gay? Panic, right? Absolute panic. But once I had asked the question once, it just kind of kept coming up stronger and stronger and stronger. And this was over a period of years. Like the first time I ever questioned if I was gay was 6 years ago, right before I came out as bi to the internet.
Oh.
Because I had seen Ingrid Nelson's coming out video.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever year she posted that, years ago, I had seen that video, absolutely panicked, came out to my partner at the time as gay. I was like, I think I'm gay. And we basically decided that I couldn't be gay. That made no sense. Was definitely bi and just needed to talk about it. And we thought, okay, this is just something that's been building up. And so now it's coming out as something more intense than it actually is. So I came out to the internet, I came out to my family and kind of was like, great, this is excellent. Put it away in its little box. And then I got engaged to that male partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of started talking about wedding planning. And again, just absolute panic, and couldn't figure out why.
Yeah.
I started a journal. It's funny that you mentioned journaling. I started a journal January 2020 because my therapist recommended it, because December 2019 was like one of the lowest points of my life. Like my mental health was just absolutely terrible. And my therapist was like, have you ever journaled? You should try journaling. I was like, okay, I'll try it. And now I'm so glad that I did, because I look back on those, like, that's when the process of like, uh-oh, started. And it's all there in my journal. But so once I started asking that question and like trying to answer honestly within myself, it was like I couldn't keep that framework up. It started to crumble, and I couldn't, you know, convince myself that it was still true.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That like gives me panic. Just hearing you talk about that process. I like, for me, one part of my anxiety is, like I said, I like solutions to things. I also, I hate actually planning things, but I like knowing there's a plan and a framework and that I can kind of predict what's going to happen next. And I would imagine, like, you literally were like, okay, we're going to start over, essentially. I have no idea what's going to happen next, right?
Oh, and I'm like, when you say you like to have kind of a plan, I like a plan. Like, I have it down you know, to the month. This is what's happening. This is what we're doing. This is where I'm going. This is where my life's going to be here. Like, I've always been that way. And I had built my entire life going in one direction, right? With this partner. And we were building this whole life together. And I had to start again. I'm still starting again, right? We're almost a year later and I'm still trying to figure it out. But I'm figuring it out as myself, right? Like it's almost like I have this new, before I had this plan and it was like, if everything doesn't go exactly this way, I don't know what I'll do. Like, it has to be exactly like this. Mm-hmm. Whereas now there's this feeling of like, even if nothing goes to plan, even if I'm alone forever, at least I'm me, you know, like at least I'm living who I really am and I'm working toward the things that I really want. And I know that I'm not going to spend any more time in my life working towards something that's not what I really want. Cause I know what that feels like now. I did it for however many years. I'm past that. And I'm past trying to make decisions based on what I think other people want or what I think will make other people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing my best to make the decisions for me.
Wow. Yeah. that have, so has that helped? Like, do you now not do that as much in your brain of like needing a plan and wanting a plan? Are you now more like, let's just go with it? Or is that still there?
Yeah. So it's still there, but I have gotten so much more chill. Like it's like some of my friends don't even recognize me. Like I, like, you know, 6 months, let's say a year ago, I couldn't, if I wasn't planned a week in advance, I wasn't there. Like I needed a plan. Whereas now I'm so much more like, I'm learning. I'm really actively working on like going with the flow and like letting, just like trying to do the things as they arrive.
Yeah.
It's not easy though. It's not no. my natural state.
Well, you seem like you're being good at it so far, you know, thank just you. Fly, meet someone on TikTok, go to the UK.
Yeah. So this was like, I think I kind of just like went into full chaos mode. Like after my whole life fell apart, I was like, well, there's nothing but chaos. Like, let's do it. And now I'm like trying to find that middle ground of like, okay, now I've really created a chaos situation here. So how do I now like take some of that planning brain back and like,
ooh,
change this from just a chaos situation into like a, wait a minute, Elena, this is real life now. Real life again.
Or just enjoy the chaos.
Yes.
Both. Yes. Little both maybe is healthy.
That's the thing. I need to find that middle, the middle ground, but the chaos has helped me to be like, oh, I can also like make decisions that I didn't plan a year ago and everything is okay.
Yeah. You're okay now in this moment.
Right, exactly. Right now.
So mindful.
I'm okay. Right now, I'm okay.
I love plants. You probably already knew that. But as of just a couple of years ago, I was convinced I would forever be a plant killer. That is until I met the Plant Doctors. They're two women, Chelsea and Skylar, in Portland, who love helping people and businesses figure out how to care for their plants. And they sell cute plants and adorable plant pots, too. They have brought lots of green beauty into my house. And they just launched something super fun. A plant club. They're calling it the Clean Air Plant Club. Because, fun fact, plants actually do clean the air. For $20 a month, your subscription will get you a new 4-inch plant every month, plus 10% off all workshops and 10% off anything else you buy when you go pick up your plant in person. Go sign up for the Clean Air Plant Club right now at theplantdocs.com. And while you're on their website, if you feel like you need a new plant right now, which, let's be honest, you probably do, use the code Cassidy for 15% off your order. Again, code Cassidy at theplantdocs.com. I love nut butter. Okay, that definitely sounds weird when I say it out loud in audio form, but you know you love it too, okay? Some toast with some nut butter on it in the morning. So let me introduce you to my favorite nut butter makers, Ground Up. They make super unique flavors like cinnamon snickerdoodle, coconut cardamom, and Oregon hazelnut. I can honestly never pick a favorite, but that is not the only thing that makes them unique. Ground Up's tagline is spread good, because the company also provides job opportunities to women overcoming adversity, like incarceration, homelessness, and mental illness. You can support their mission by buying some delicious nut butter for yourself at grounduppdx.com. And use the code MENTALLYTOGETHER, all one word, for 15% off your order. That's code MENTALLYTOGETHER, all one word, at grounduppdx.com.
Now, back to the show.
I liked what you said about listening to what other people thought and wanted for you versus what you thought and wanted for yourself.
Hard.
And this is probably true for everyone, but I think the more I talk to women, it's very common because, yeah, there's compulsory heterosexuality, like you talked about, but then also just me in quarantine is going like, okay, what? These things that I was doing in my career, was it because my parents said, oh, you're going to be on the Today Show. That'll be great. So I'm like, cool, cool. That's what I'm going to work towards because that's what I want. And then getting into quarantine, I'm like, wait, is that what I want? Or was that what everyone said? And now how So I'm still trying to figure out like what is, and I'm in my 30s. I'm like, I feel like I should have figured this out by now, but no, I haven't. Mm-mm. What do I want? What do I feel like I should be doing that actually isn't what I want? Have you figured out? Give me all the solutions. Just kidding. But have you figured out the difference between those two and how obviously you did in one part of your life? Mm-hmm. Like what was the process of being able to listen to your specific brain and wants and desires, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I think the first thing is even asking the question. I never even asked the question. And it sounds like you maybe didn't either with your career. Like when you just kind of are funneled into this path, and also it's like, everything's fine.
Like
my relationship was a beautiful relationship. He's a wonderful person. We had all the things that you want in a relationship. I had a happy life. We were building this beautiful thing. I'm sure your career, your old job was fulfilling and exciting and wonderful and like all of these things. When you figure out that that's not the thing you want, it's really hard to like marry those two truths.
Marry.
I know. I was trying to think of a different word and then I just,
to marry that person. I mean, the truths.
It's like really hard to marry that guy when you're gay. It's hard to believe or like allow both of those things to be true. That this thing you were doing or this person you were with or this job that you had, just because you've realized it's not the thing you really want, doesn't mean it wasn't a wonderful, beautiful thing. It just means that there's something else that might mean more to you, or there's another path that could make you even happier. And so the first tip for me is just ask the questions. Like, give yourself permission to actually look at those questions. It doesn't mean you're making any decision. It doesn't mean that you are betraying anybody's trust or you're doing anything sneaky. The more that you question your life and your situation, the more that the thing that you choose has meaning, right? Mm-hmm. And so questioning your relationship, questioning your job, it doesn't mean that you aren't committed to those things or you don't care about those things. It just means that whichever way you end up choosing, you know, that matters and has some weight to it. It's a conscious choice. It's mindful.
Yeah.
So asking those questions is huge. And then space. Like, I think that's why quarantine has helped so many of us realize one thing or another, because it's really difficult to see the influence that other people are having on you when you're still stuck, emerged in that bubble.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when you are able to like take some space for yourself, you can see things a bit more clearly.
Totally. Like when you're just staying busy all the time or around other people and not just sitting in your thoughts and writing them out, asking the questions, like you said. What are some of, you've talked about journaling and meditation. Mm-hmm. What are some of the habits that you've put into your life, into your practice that have helped you in your mental health?
Yeah. So both meditation and journaling, great, because they're actively taking time to just like be with yourself. But then it's also just finding things that I enjoy. And again, differentiating between I enjoy this thing because I enjoy it, or I enjoy it because I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to think that it's great. So a good example in my life of that is climbing, like bouldering, rock climbing, as a form of exercise. I used to do hot yoga and I hated it. I absolutely hated every second of it. I dreaded going to class. I hated the heat. It made me feel sick. I wanted it to be over, but I thought, no, I like yoga. Hot yoga is good for you. I'm sweating. I am getting fit. This is good for me. And I love it. Like, no, I didn't. Not for one second did I love it. And then when I discovered rock climbing, bouldering, I have never genuinely loved something this much in my entire life. And so being able to say, no, I actually just like don't like hot yoga. I don't like it. You can like it, Mom. But I just don't. And so I don't want to do it. That's not where I want to spend my time. I like slow things. I like hiking. I like a little run, a little jog if it's slow, right?
And that's slow. Okay,
right? And so discovering those kinds of things even just like hobbies, right? Like, are there things that you're doing? Like, let's say learning guitar. I wanted to learn the guitar or like the ukulele or something forever because I felt like that's a cool thing to learn. Did I enjoy it? No. So cut it out. Find something you actually like.
Yeah. Or for me, it's like, ooh, maybe I'll like this hobby. I should make a video about it. I should probably do this. Like, don't even give myself the time to figure out if I like it. A week ago, I ordered candle making supplies. Yep. And I even was texting one of my friends. I was like, okay, you need to hold me to this. I'm going to make candles at least 3 times before I make any posts about it. However, I was out of town for a few days. I got home last night. The package of the candle making supplies had arrived. And already today, I'm like, should I make a video? I should probably make a video. I'm like, no.
This is a part of my identity now.
You said you've never made a candle in your life. It's probably going to be horrible and maybe you'll hate it. Like, why do I force myself to then tell the world that I am a candle maker now?
Because we're all searching for identity.
Yeah.
We're all searching for identity, I think.
Yeah, I think so for sure. If the last year has taught us anything, it's taught us a lot of things. That is probably one of them.
I think that the best things that I've done for my mental health above and beyond what we just talked about is also like, we kind of touched on this too, but like working on mental flexibility. So like working on, instead of like putting my calendar as my calendar and going, that's it, set in stone, baby, like cannot make a change no matter what. I'm working on checking in on the things that are optional, right? Obviously we all have responsibilities, but optional things like friends or hiking or climbing or whatever it is, and actually asking, okay, how do I feel tonight? What would I like to do tonight? Allowing myself the flexibility to change based on what I want. Which that sounds simple, but it really has not been.
Everything that's good for us really probably sounds pretty simple, but it is a lot harder in practice.
Yeah. So that's been huge. Making sure that I maintain connections with the people that I care about.
Mm-hmm.
I try to say nice things to everybody when I think them.
Oh, that's
like
wonderful.
That's like a big tip for if you're ever feeling down in any way, anxious, upset, sad, depressed, anything. Think about something that you could do for somebody else to make them smile and then do that thing. It's like, it can turn your whole day around to like do it, like send a nice text or make someone a card or buy your friend lunch or I don't know, you know, any little things that are meaningful to somebody else that can pull you out of a slump so quick.
And it might pull them out of a slump that you know they're in or don't know they're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. That's so wonderful. I've heard you talk about also thinking about the way you talk to yourself as if you were talking to a friend. Like if you, instead of being like, wow, you suck, you really should have done this, you're stupid. Like, I wouldn't say that to my friend if they did something, even if I knew it wasn't that good for them, I would still be nice and compassionate probably, unless I had a really bad day or something. But
but even then you're not going to be spiteful and critical. You're going to try and motivate them from a place of care.
Yeah.
To make a better choice. Yeah.
So is that how it feels in your brain now that, are you pretty compassionate inside your own brain to yourself?
Oof. I mean, it's a roller coaster, right? I do my best, but it really is, exactly like you explained. A really great trick is imagining that somebody that you love and somebody that you care about is in this exact same situation that you're in, and what would you say to them? So even if it's the re-coming out or the any of these big decisions that I've made, right? I've had to sit down and think to myself, you know, not going back for my master's when I thought that that's what I wanted to do, going to the UK, like any of these choices where I'm like, oh God, this is huge. This is all, what is everybody going to think? I'm terrible for this reason or that reason, saying all these horrible things to myself. When you then picture like somebody that you really love in that exact same scenario, it's like, okay, well, what would I want them to do? What would I want for them?
Yeah.
And the answer is always, you want what's best for them. And so being able to sit down and think, okay, what would actually be best for this person that I care about in this situation can help you find an answer sometimes to a question for yourself.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then I would guess, like, all of those examples that you just mentioned, when you've been scared to put it out there, like, oh, I changed my mind, mm-hmm. whether it's going back to school or not marrying a guy and being your true lesbian self.
Uh-huh.
Like, have you been scared of the reaction, but then people have actually been so nice and welcoming and comforting to you, like you would be to a friend going through the same thing?
Exactly. 100%. I was terrified. Absolutely terrified for any, it's scary to change your mind. It's scary to change your mind about anything. Never mind when it's something that's a decision that's going to have a really big impact on your life. Never mind a decision that, whether it's your closest friends, your family, your colleagues, hundreds of thousands of people on the internet, like when other people know about some decision and then you have to change your mind, it's scary. Uh-huh. But who cares? you can't live your whole life in a direction just because that's the direction that you've been living it in.
Yeah.
Like you have to, it was scary to make any of those decisions and to then tell people about them. But it also is getting easier with practice. I've dropped some bombshells over the past over many years and I'm learning. It's okay, because I'm making these decisions that I need to for my life and for who I truly am. And if anybody's not on board with that, that's on them.
That's wonderful. I like to imagine that everyone is nice and compassionate and mm-hmm. leaves wonderful comments, but you're also on the internet uh-huh. where some people suck.
Yeah.
Have you gotten mean comments, and do you have a good way of dealing with that and not, you know, letting it roll off you?
My favorite way to deal with mean comments is to read them with a friend. So like,
for a video or either way.
Yeah, for a video, I'll do it for a video with my family, or I'll just do it on my own. Like if I get a comment that really cuts, I will screenshot it and like send it to one of my best friends. Because every single time, even if I'm reading it and I'm going, oh man, like this is really hurtful. And I probably think it's really hurtful because to me it has some ounce of truth in it, or it's something that I'm already insecure about.
Yeah.
First of all, I will say that feeling of shame breeds in silence. So the things that we're ashamed of gain power when we keep them a secret, right? Uh-huh. When you speak those deep, dark things that you are so ashamed of and so afraid that if other people find out this thing about me, it means I'm unlovable and they're going to see that. I guarantee you, it's like you've let your biggest fear out there and it's not, the bad thing isn't going to happen. Anyway, so
yeah.
With a comment, sometimes the ones that cut the deepest are the ones that like unknowingly touch on something you're already like, oh God, this is kind of what I think about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost don't want to send it to somebody, or you don't want anyone to see it because you're like, I don't want people to think this of me. But I push myself past that, screenshot it, send it to a friend. And every single time they're just like, ha, what an idiot. You know? And like their laughter and their just
no one's
like,
ever like, Elena, actually, I've been meaning to talk to you about this. And I wrote, that was my comment. That was my burner account.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you bring up a good point. Maybe sharing with friends is not the best way to go. No, but it's always like without fail, they're just like, well, that person's got, you know, nothing better to do, or, you don't really believe that, do you? Like it's always this, the response is it like brings a lightness to something that like when you're by yourself and letting it fester, it can feel like heavy and all encompassing. But so that's my favorite way to deal with hate comments. Bring a friend in.
I love
have
that.
Them laugh with you.
It's definitely true for me about my mental health. Like if I'm having an anxiety attack and it's mm-hmm. all in my head, if I say it out loud to whoever is around me, it's like, oh, okay, maybe the world is not ending and I just feel that way. And I am okay in this moment. Yep. And all these horrible things that I'm worried about exploding in the world are, it's okay. And that it's other person, connection for sure. But sometimes isolating seems like the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm. That's like, so self-compassion has three pieces, right? So it's got the self-kindness. So that's the like treating yourself like a friend, common humanity, which is realizing that like we're not alone. Everybody mm-hmm. in the world is like suffering's a part of life. It's a part of being human. It happens to all of us. We're not on our own. And mindfulness, right? So being able to notice that we're suffering so that when we can treat ourselves with that kindness, mm-hmm. we can't treat ourselves with kindness if we don't even realize that we're suffering, right? So we have to be able to pause and recognize that. But the opposite of those things, right? One of with the common humanity, it's isolation. That's one of the most damaging things that we can do, but it has to do with the fight, flight, or freeze response, right? Mm-hmm. So when something scary or anxiety inducing is happening, one of our natural reactions is flight. And so this is isolating ourselves from those that we love, the opposite of common humanity, freezing, which is the ruminating, right? So freezing in that thought, freezing in the fear of what's going to happen, or freezing in the worry about the past, which is like where mindfulness comes into play. And then the self-judgment, that's the fight. And we turn that outward fight protection into ourselves when we've deemed that we are the problem, and we attack ourselves. And so the self-kindness piece of self-compassion is the antidote to that.
I'd never really thought about it as like attacking and fighting with yourself, mm-hmm. but that makes a lot of sense.
That's like a unique struggle that we as human beings in our evolution have, is we can activate that reptilian brain. We can activate that fight, flight, or freeze with no actual threat. Like we can create a threat in our mind that's big enough that it actually physiologically. Oh, love a positive reframe. But yeah, it's amazing, and it's a struggle.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
As an info dump, I just
no, that was great. If you are having a bad mental day, you wake up, maybe this doesn't happen, maybe it does happen to you, I'm assuming. You wake up and you're like, everything sucks today, I'm sad, mm-hmm. I'm anxious, whatever the feelings are there things that you then go, okay, these are my go-tos, I'm going to do this and try to turn it around?
Yeah, so we've touched on many of them, but the hardest one, but something that I find helps the most, is reaching out to somebody, like we just mm-hmm. talked about. Literally just sending a text being like, hey, I'm feeling really anxious today. Sometimes that is like enough to be like, to feel that little ounce of connection where it's like, okay, it's okay. Somebody else knows and they're okay. I'm okay. It's okay. I try and give myself the grace of like looking at my calendar and seeing if I can move things around in order to take care of myself, whether that be like canceling plans, moving responsibilities as I can. And then sometimes what I need is like getting outside, going for a walk. That's mm-hmm. a big one. Like getting, again, outside of these four walls. Sometimes it can make you feel like, oh, okay, it's all these things to remind yourself that like, it's okay. It's mm-hmm. okay. It's okay. And then to use the little phrase, right now I'm okay, I'll also just tag the three words, and that's okay, onto the end of whatever is happening in my brain. So if I'm like, because sometimes I'll like wake up and it's just one of those days where like immediately your heart is going and like, it just feels like something bad is about to happen, mm-hmm. right? Anxiety, woo.
Yeah.
And being able to use mindfulness to name it, right? So, okay, whoa, I'm feeling really anxious, and that's okay. Not, and how can I fix it? And how can I get rid of it? And what am I doing wrong? And what's going to happen? Why am I feeling like this? There's got to be something wrong. I feel anxious right now, and that's okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go hang out with so-and-so like I said I would, and that's okay. Uh-oh, I feel like I'm crying now, and that's okay. Like just adding those three words on the end can take some of the weight off.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah.
What about you?
Self-compassion.
What are your go-tos?
Ooh.
When you're having a day like that.
Definitely getting outside, because I think it goes along with the isolating thing. Like sometimes I'll be inside working all week, and then I realize towards the end of the week, like, why do I feel kind of sad? Oh, I haven't really left my house. I've gone to the mailbox. maybe, probably not even in the grocery store because I get it delivered. Like, I have everything comes to me. Okay. And I just sit here on my computer all day and talking to myself in a camera. And then I'm like, oh, so just whether it's, oh, I have time to go on a run or let me just walk outside for 10 minutes. And then a lot of times, okay, let me call somebody, which I resist for some reason a lot because I'm like, what am I going to say? What are we going to talk about? Who do I call? And then as soon as I do it, I go, oh yeah. Like you said, human connection. What? Yeah. All these feelings. I was not the only one feeling them. Also, I love plants. And if I can like
background,
here's all my plants. And I like if I can like make a mess, I like being creative and doing some kind of craft, but a lot of times it stresses me out to be like, what is it going to be? Do I have the supplies? Yeah. Like the candles again. But with plants, I can be like, okay, let me just like put this plant in a new pot or go get a new plant. And and pretty quickly can just like get my hands dirty and feel like I did something. Maybe it's that I'm taking care of something else. Like, oh, I'm helping this plant. And then kind of helping myself at the same time, or go like, oh, what did I do for the plant? I gave it water, I gave it food, and oh, I could do that for myself.
I need those things also.
Yeah.
I'm also like, sometimes I'll just take a nap. Like, sometimes I just need to like lie. And my naps are, I love napping, big napper. But my naps aren't even always sleeping. Sometimes I will just go lie in my bed. Like, I will just lie there and just rest.
Yeah. And sometimes if I do go to sleep, sometimes like you wake up and it's like a new day.
Exactly.
Like I just had to restart my brain. Like I restart my computer if it's doing something stupid. I'm like, okay, reboot.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that actually does work for my, sometimes I'll wake up and I still feel like crap, but other times
and
go to sleep.
And that's okay.
And that is okay. Exactly.
That's okay.
But sometimes a nap totally, you wake up, you're like, oh, okay. That was yesterday.
Day number
We're
two.
We're good now. Yeah, exactly.
Tuesday part two.
Yep. If you're loving this episode of Mentally Together, you might be curious, what goes on behind the scenes? Which parts of the conversation were left on the cutting room floor? Well, let's talk about it over on Patreon. My patrons get to see deleted video clips from every episode and get to be the first to ask questions of each podcast guest. For this episode, I'm posting some funny bloopers because, as you can probably tell, I had way too much fun talking to Elena. Oh, and I asked her a question that she hated, so I cut it out of the episode, but it's on Patreon. Oh, and as one of my patrons, you get every episode of the show a day early on Sundays. You can read all about the different tiers and sign up at patreon.com/CassidyQuinn. Again, that's Patreon, patreon.com/CassidyQuinn. Okay, now I have a quick round of questions.
Okay.
When was the last time you cried?
Oh, let me think. I cry a lot.
Me too.
I cry a lot. When was the last time I cried? I don't think I cried yesterday, so it would have been Monday.
Okay.
And why? Because there's just some big, there's like a change coming up and I'm nervous.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good answer. And that's okay. When's the last time you had a big belly laugh?
Oh, okay. Oh my, again, I belly laugh all the time. Last night I was howling at this TikTok that I saw. And it, you know, it's never as funny when you try and explain it, but it was essentially a guy with his friend. And he was like, okay, I'm going to show you a magic trick. And he goes, I'm going to snap my, the magic trick is that I'm going to snap my fingers and you're going to forget that you were ever gay. And then his friend is like, I was never gay.
Wait.
He's like, but dude, like, but I was never gay. Question is all. I belly laughed, howled. That was the last time.
My phone's probably listening, and that's going
to
be the first
time. I can send it to you. Oh my
god,
my
phone. What are you grateful for right now?
Oh my god, so many things. I'm grateful that my family and friends are safe. I'm grateful that I have the people in my life that I have. I'm grateful that I get to do this as a job. Like, what a dream. I'm grateful that I live in a place where I can be openly myself and not have to fear for my safety. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm grateful for my cat. I'm grateful that even with everything that's happened in the past year, like my ex-partner and I are still close. Like,
aww.
I have so much to be grateful for.
That's wonderful. What sound can calm you down or bring you joy when you hear it?
Lots of like little pieces of music. Like there's certain little chunks of like different songs that just make my brain feel like I'm getting a hug. So, but in general, sound of a cat purring.
Ooh, like, how did I know that's what you were gonna say?
Like my cat, she's a big purr. She's like purrs really loud all the time. And I just like put my head like on her chest and I'm like, oh, the world is okay.
Oh, that sounds so comforting.
She's so sweet. She's probably high. Oh, she's just there on the couch.
Okay. Oh,
she's just this little black thing right there.
Oh, yep. Her.
She's dead asleep.
She's like, it's just my mom talking to a camera again, as usual.
Again. Here she goes again.
What about a smell that can do the same thing? Maybe not cat related. I don't know. Maybe
no, I mean, really like she does smell. She smells really? Very lovely. Yeah, honestly, I smell it all the time. But my favorite smell is like the smell of spring in the air. So like, you know, when you go outside and it just, that smell of like, it's a little bit fresh. It's a little bit like moist. That smell.
If you're listening to the audio version, there was a face. Elena made a face.
I just let you know, moist. Mm-hmm. That's
the smell
that
of moist.
The is... smell of moist.
Mm-hmm. Very common answer.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I stand by that. I'm gonna double down. I'm gonna say it really perfect. That is, brings me comfort.
Final answer. What is the best thing you do for your mental health?
The best thing I do for my mental health is allow myself forgiveness and allow myself like grace and space and a gentleness. That's the best thing that I do for my mental health. Just try to treat myself gently.
Yeah. What about the worst thing you do that maybe you need to stop doing?
Yeah, my self-destructive tendencies, the isolation. Like my instinct is to just go into hiding when things aren't good, and that's not helpful. And I try to control, this is something my therapist taught me. I try to control my anxiety by controlling my life. So I make these like rigid rules and plans and structures for myself because I believe that if I just follow these rules, mm-hmm. Then I won't feel anxious anymore. When really that's not the truth at all. So that, yeah. You know, trying to work on that flexibility.
Yeah, that makes sense. What's your biggest guilty pleasure?
Ooh, reality TV. Trash reality TV. Oh my word. I love it. Oh, I love it.
What do you watch?
Everything. I have a whole TED talk on why Love Island is the best reality TV show. And nobody can convince me otherwise. Like all those British ones, Love Island.
They're so nice to each other.
Oh, Jordy Shore, X on the Beach. Right now I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé.
Ooh, yeah.
All of it. Like, give me trash reality TV.
It's great. It's a good escape. I love mm-hmm. it. What is your favorite thing about your brain?
Ooh, I think that I am playful. I think my favorite thing about my brain is that I can... I respond to 9 out of 10 situations naturally with like a playful manner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. When do you feel most yourself?
Oh my God. That's so lightning round.
I know.
When do I feel most myself? I feel most myself when I am making other people laugh.
Oh, what is something you're really good at that people might not know?
Oh man, I don't know. I think I am good at making people feel comfortable.
Ooh, yeah. If you had to get something tattooed on your forehead, because everyone's just doing it. It's like in the future, someone dumb has put me in charge for some reason. And everyone is now getting a tattoo on their forehead that's like your billboard to yourself in the mirror and to the world. what would your forehead tattoo say?
I'm stealing this from a friend of mine.
From their forehead tattoo?
Yes, my friend has a forehead tattoo. sturdy soul.
Ooh.
So she wants to get this tattoo, and she was like, let's get them together. And I was like, no, it's from a Brandi Carlile song. And I just love that as a reminder. She says, I am a sturdy soul.
Ooh, like, I've never heard that. I like that. That's really good.
Ooh.
And probably anyone listening to this already knows where to follow you on the internet, but where should they follow you? Or do you have anything coming up that they should keep an eye on?
Yeah, I'm Elena Joy on YouTube, and I'm Miss Fender with two R's on everything else. Mainly YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok are my faves. If you're into like climbing or anything like that, I do a lot of stuff over my Instagram. My TikTok is more just like fun LGBTQ things. And my YouTube is a whole hodgepodge of fun stuff. But I would say, hey, come on over, check it out.
Yeah.
We like to smile. We like to laugh, keep it light while also like slip in some education in there.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. anything else that we didn't talk about mental health that you wish people knew or heard?
I wish that people would be gentle with themselves. Yeah, we all just need to allow ourselves a little bit of space and to know that if we fail or if we fall down or if things don't go as planned, if you have your own back, like, you know it's going to be okay. So when we try and like lean on everybody else for what they think and their support and their opinions, it's a dangerous game. Whereas when you're making the choices that feel right to you, then even if something goes wrong, it's like, you know, you think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I don't know if that's helpful.
Very helpful. Well, thank you so much.
This was wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And thank you, wonderful human, for listening to this episode of Mentally Together. We put out new episodes every Monday, so I, Cassidy Quinn, will see you next week. In the meantime, go do something nice for your brain today. Go rock climbing, practice some self-compassion, do something nice for someone else, whatever will make your day just a little bit better. Because remember, we are all just trying to keep ourselves mentally together. Mentally Together is produced, hosted, and edited by Cassidy Quinn in collaboration with Koba FM, a podcast network that is all about community, baby.